Hello. Hi, folks. It is a little bit after 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Christmas Eve, I'm told. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. If it's Wednesday night at 9 p.m., you must be listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
Okay, Becca's not here. Becca is enjoying the holidays in Texas. And she very well might be calling in, and we hope she does. But we here at This Show Is So Gay with Ken and Becca are going to forge ahead, and I will hold down the fort, and Becca will return and hopefully call in. We have a great—I'm just going to keep saying we as if I'm not sitting here by myself in my pajamas in the radio station. So we have an amazing show for you tonight. Netta Ulaby, who's the arts and culture correspondent for NPR, is going to be calling into our show a little bit later on, and she has all these different music requests, and we're going to be playing her music requests, and we're just honored that she is able to join us on a night when apparently it's a holiday. But I'm here, and Becca's going to call in, hopefully. It's been a really, really busy week in the gay world. If you have not been able to check out the news, let me update you. Perhaps the thing that annoyed me the most, and thus what I will share first, was out in a state called California, which is over on that other coast. And the folks that lobbied so hard to get Proposition 8 passed, and congratulations, that is what you achieved. They're not done. They have more work to do, and so their more work to do is not just to get Proposition, I can't say it, apparently, because it just annoys me that much. Prop. Let's just go with prop. Without Becca here, I'm just a blubbering mess. So not just to get Prop 8 passed, but to nullify all of the marriages that already took place. And I'll read to you a little bit. Sponsors of the California ballot measure that bans same-sex marriage are seeking to nullify thousands of marriages between gay and lesbian couples performed after the state's Supreme Court ruled them constitutional. The sponsors have filed responses to three anti-Proposition 8 lawsuits with the state Supreme Court, and they are looking, and I think there's a number in here somewhere of how many marriages, exactly how many marriages they're looking to nullify. But they're feeling confident. We are confident that the will of the voters in Proposition 8 will ultimately be upheld. And it's appalling. It is just an absolutely appalling story. You got your measure passed. Congratulations, Prop 8. It's on the books. But you're not done, and you have to get rid of the people who already were able to get married. It just is appalling. It's so mean-spirited. There's really no purpose to it. These are people who have way too much free time. I would like to have whatever jobs they have during the day, if they have time to do this, because I find myself not being able to read a book at night because I'm tired. And yet these folks have time to get rid of other people's marriages. So we're going to give a shout out to, even though, see, without Becca here, I can endorse anything, because Becca keeps me on the level and she makes sure that I follow the rules. And I feel a little rule-less this evening without Becca. So I'm going to give a shout out to those who are fighting against this and all the people who are outraged, and everyone should be outraged, because it's so, so mean-spirited, and not in keeping with the holiday season. So there, that's what's going on out of California. We're going to be playing some music for you. Again, we, and I'm even laughing at myself. It's really just me here, folks. So I'm going to play a song by The Killers, and it features Elton John and some other folks. And it's a special request from Netta Ulaby, who's going to be calling in a little bit later. So I'm going to cue that up right about now.
Well, your eyes just haven't been the same, Joseph. Are you bad at dealing with the fame, Joseph? There's a pale moonshine above you. Do you see both sides? Do they shove you around?
Is the touchstone forcing you to hide, Joseph? Are the rumors eating you alive, Joseph?
When the holy night is upon you, will you do what's right? The position is yours.
From the temple walls to the New York night, our decisions rest on a child. When she took her stand, did she hold your hand? Will your faith stand still or run away? Run away. So far that you think you're gonna drop. Do you wish you were back there at the carpenter shop
with the pain and the rain? The work never drove you mad. You're a maker, a creator, not just somebody's dad.
Temple walls to the New York night, our decisions rest on the man. When I take the stand, will he hold my hand? Will my faith stand still?
That was The Killers featuring Elton John and somebody else, but I'm not sure who, singing Joseph, Better You Than Me. And that was a song picked by tonight's guest, NPR's Netta Ulaby, who's going to be calling in a little bit later on in the show. So I'm going to talk about some other stuff. If you're just tuning in now, it's just Ken. There is no Becca. Just tonight. Don't get worried. She's coming back. I'm starting to get worried because I'm so lonely. But we have all these folks listening online, and I very much appreciate that. And they're conversing with me via instant messenger. So if you want to sign on to your AIM, screen name is This Show Is So Gay. And I will try to toggle back and forth between the soundboard and the phones and the computer and talk to me because I'm lonely. Or you can give me a call at 802-246-6107, and we'll talk about all the different gay things going on in the news. One of the other stories I was reading about, I'm all about a protest. We talk about it often, how I do enjoy a good protest, even if it's people boycotting things, which just entertains me. So the latest product, the latest brand to be targeted by my friends at the American Family Association, never really met anyone from there, but one day I will, is the Campbell's Soup Company. There's, according to the story, there's a tempest in a soup pot brewing up all over the internet. It seems that Campbell's Soup has taken out advertising in The Advocate. We enjoy The Advocate. The ad for Swanson's Broth highlights a lesbian married couple raising a kid. Horrors. And they're all eating soup. The ad associates Campbell's Soup with family and wholesomeness and traditional American values, despite whatever surface-level changes these values manifest themselves in these days. This is literally what the article says. And that's got my friends in the American Family Association, they're not happy. So on their website, they have this whole statement that says they're urging consumers to email Campbell and demanding that they stop, quote, pushing the gay agenda, which is gay people eating soup. It is a platform of all the major LGBT political organizations. There's marriage. There's being able to give blood. There's visitation in the hospitals, and there's eating soup. And then they called on Swanson, on the Swanson division directly, to ask that they remain neutral. Oh my gosh. This is, how great is this of a phrase? They are asking that they remain neutral in this culture war. So make no mistake about it. This is apparently a culture war, whether or not lesbians can eat soup. So you should get involved, and whether you identify as a lesbian or a gay man or just really all the other people, you should go buy some Campbell's soup. Because you just should, because there are people boycotting against it, and that should entertain you. Campbell's, for its part, has shown no signs of retracting or otherwise distancing itself from this ad in any way. In fact, Campbell's has stated in response to the American Family Association's attacks that they plan to continue to advertise in The Advocate. So, again, Becca's not here, so I have no rules. And I'm learning that's one of the things that she does for me. She keeps me in line. I endorse the Campbell's Soup Company. So go Campbell's.
Somebody wants the man. they said it's too bad. Because I'm never alone. It's just a phone. It's a stereo. Oh, 21st century life. I got swept away. I got 21,000 things that I gotta do today. 21st century life. What can I say?
That was Sam Sparrow. We're going to talk to our guest about that pronunciation. In fact, I think it's just about time to cue up our guest. Guest, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, thank gosh. It's not easy doing this by myself.
I'm a good little elf.
Oh, thank gosh. All right, well, but I got to introduce you first.
Okay.
So, and you've been hearing me say it all hour long, Netta Ulaby reports on arts and cultures for National Public Radio. Her work includes profiling authors, musicians, and others who inform the world through creative expression and covering the complicated relationships between art, artists, and society. How was that?
It was right off my bio on the website.
don't out me. I wrote that. Okay, I didn't. Well, welcome to the show, So Gay, Netta Ulaby.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
How is your evening?
You know, I'm taking a little break from watching The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe with my girlfriend and her mother.
Oh.
And, you know, I was dying to get on the phone with you, basically.
So I compare well to that.
You know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is not a bad adaptation of the book.
The other one, though, the second one, not so good.
Didn't see that one, but being a girl, a gay girl, you know, the Prince Caspian thing, it just didn't quite have that appeal that I think it did for my the brothers.
I'm not going to lie to you. It's very appealing to me. I'm sure that's fine. So what do you say, Sam Sparrow or Sam Sparrow?
Let's put down the middle. Can you give me some way to do that?
We'll do something phonetic. Let's do something phonetic. How's NPR these days?
Well, it's a tough question. We just had cutbacks.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, there's not a lot of sense of cheer in NPR at the exact moment. But, you know, it's still the bastion of, you know, great ideals and really smart people doing their best to get the news on the air.
How's my friend Carl Castle? Does he ask about me?
Carl Castle is doing just fine.
Netta, does he ask about me?
Constantly.
Yes. That makes me feel so validated. Does he often come in and say, you know, I've done a lot of phone messages, but that message that I did for that Ken guy, that was the best.
I've worked at NPR for 8 years, and Carl Castle still cannot pronounce my name. So he and I have a tiny bit of a beef going on.
Oh, gosh. And Ari Shapiro, does he ask about us?
Ari Shapiro is your biggest fan.
Yeah. Well, all right, we'll take it. We'll take it and run with it. I have so much to talk with you about.
Okay, but I do have to tell you that Ari and I did talk about when he was on, and he had such a good time, totally enjoyed himself.
Oh.
Absolutely. He's so enthusiastic about it.
Well, he does that crazy jumping around thing that I've now read about.
What? I don't know about this.
This picora, I'm not even saying it right. Something where it's quasi-exercise, but you're jumping on rails and running up buildings. I looked it up. It's not safe, and I don't want
you.
I don't want you doing it.
I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it.
Let's leave that to him. He can come in all scraped and bruised and tell people, oh, it's from the Justice Department, when in fact
it's like
I'm getting, look at this. Our online listeners are correcting me as we do this. Parkour.
Does Ari Shapiro do parkour like a James Bond?
Apparently. Parkour? Netta, I don't want you doing it.
I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
You know, I leave that to the brother.
Prince Caspian and parkour.
Exactly.
Are for the brothers. Android. And then we'll give you some other. You can have Campbell's soup. We were just talking about. By the way, I keep saying we as if I'm not the only one sitting in the station right now, which is a little bit bizarre.
But I'll start calling you Yo Majesty.
I will do the royal we. It won't take much. Apparently Campbell's soup is under fire from the American Family Association because they had an ad in The Advocate with lesbians eating soup.
All right, I'll take the Campbell's soup.
Not that you need to represent all your sisters, but how do you feel about soup?
You know, I'm pro-soup.
Okay.
Unequivocally pro-soup.
This is going to be a new platform of our radio show, is we're pro-soup. All right, we have so much to talk about. Are you ready?
Okay.
It's me and you. All right, so I've been quoting your story for months now about Harvey Milk, which I was so happy to be able to catch actually when it was broadcasting and then listen to again online. And it was such a great story, and I thank you so much for putting that together.
But it was a
little disturbing to me too, though. And now on so many different levels, now that I was researching it tonight. So, on the one hand, the idea that people don't know who he is, I don't know what to do with that.
Well, you know, mind you, I did do the story a few months before the movie came out.
Absolutely.
And my guess, and you know, the sort of amazing thing about gay culture is, for so many of us, it's a peer transmitted culture. You know, Ari and I were actually just talking about this, and he was like, no one taught me about gay culture in high school. And that's, you know, I mean, who among us learned anything about gay culture in high school, or even many of us in college, you know?
Exactly.
And we learned it from the friends that we made. They were the people who were saying, oh, you've got to read Stonebridge Blues, or, oh, you got to read The Life and Times of Harvey Milk. And Gus Van Sant is basically taking pure transmitted culture to a whole new level with this movie, you know?
I haven't seen it yet. Have you seen it?
Oh, I have.
And it's just great.
You know, I will say this. I think the documentary is amazing.
It's the best.
And
The Life and Times of Harvey Milk, if people...
If you've seen the documentary, you're going to be a little bit disappointed in the movie. But if you haven't seen the documentary, you're going to think the movie is incredible.
Okay.
No matter what, you're going to think that Sean Penn is terrific. He's going to win Best Actor. I mean, I would be unbelievably blown away. And I'm really cynical about the Oscars. And I think he's going to win Best Actor, partly because I think there's a lot of guilt in Hollywood about Proposition 8.
Right.
But also because his performance is mind-blowing.
Oh, why won't it come to Vermont?
Why won't it come to Vermont?
You know, we're such a red state.
That's probably why. And you guys are really bad on all things gay.
Yeah, we are.
Really bad.
We are. We don't like soup here. It's actually a Vermont thing. Vermont does not like soup. It's one of the platforms.
You don't like soup.
So there was the level of people don't know who he is, and that was upsetting to me. And then I started reading the comments, and we were talking with our guest. We had a comic, Sean Hollenbach, on our show last week, and we were saying that all the fun stuff on the internet is going down in the comments section. Mm-hmm. The articles are fun, mm-hmm. but the comments are where the drama is.
It's definitely where the drama is.
And there was a little drama, am I wrong, in the comments section of this piece.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, no, meaning, oh, yes, absolutely.
And then you had to actually go on the comments section and say, okay, hold on. Netta, saying this.
It doesn't matter. You know, I did a story this morning about beer, And the comment section was actually worse than the Harvey Milk story.
Oh, my gosh.
You never know what's going to draw out people with really strong opinions.
It was unbelievable. Where you had to clarify. Can you tell everyone about the drama in the comment section?
Oh, I have to tell you this is a two-week-old piece, and I have erased it from my brain. Not the piece itself, but the comments. I don't remember.
Well,
remind me, what were people saying?
People were feeling that there was too much editorializing going on behalf of NPR because there was a statement about Proposition 8 and civil rights. And people were really angry that marriage was in any way being associated with civil rights.
The funny thing about that,
it's very gratifying to me that you put it out of your mind. I'm like, I don't know how. She's probably not sleeping. I'm worried about you sleeping, but you're good.
Well, I have soup, and then I have some sleep.
Other people have the parkour. You have the soup.
Other people have the parkour. I have the soup.
He's not on tonight. We refer to Ari Shapiro as other people when he's not on.
Other people, absolutely. You know, the funny thing about that particular story in Prop 8 was my editor and I finished the story before the election. And we thought that Proposition 8, like every other person, we thought it was going to pass.
Right.
And once it didn't, we were so shell-shocked that we had to wait a couple of days before we even looked at the piece again.
Oh, gosh.
And you know how it was? I mean, I think a lot of people sort of had the same reaction where you thought it was going to pass. And then it didn't, and then you're like, oh, no big deal. Or you didn't say no big deal, but you were just kind of like, huh.
Huh.
And then there was denial,
yeah.
And then there was anger.
And then the anger started.
And my editor lives in California, with her wife. And you know, we really do our best to be completely unbiased.
Right.
When it comes to the news. And at the same time, you know, we're human beings with families. And it was a really interesting journalistic position, I think, for us to be in.
That's got to be tough. That's got to be tough. See, I'm allowed to have opinions.
Yeah.
It's Vermont Public Radio. I'm good. Well, not the actual Vermont Public Radio, but it's Brattleboro Community Radio, so...
Yeah, I don't think it's too far out to be in support of civil rights.
Right.
You know, and that is kind of our basic line. Civil rights, good.
Well, yeah, soup, civil rights. I'm going to keep a running list.
You know, you've got to draw the line somewhere, and I draw it at civil rights and soup.
Wow. I need to get a T-shirt with that on it.
Don't you think, this may be our retirement fund.
I'm really looking for that right now, too. So, okay, so the other... I have so many other topics for you. You good? You're still going strong? Okay. Because I don't want... If you feel like you have to get back to the lion and the witch and the wardrobe, you let me know.
Yeah, I have to get... I've already seen the movie. This was just...
Oh, this is like the icing.
It's a little embarrassing. We just turned on the television. It was on, and we all kind of got sucked in.
It brings people together, apparently.
It's a childhood classic, whatever.
Well, one of the quotes one of the folks that you interviewed said it was his former lawyer named Walter Kaplan.
He is an amazing man.
Oh, yeah?
Amazing, yes.
Well, one of the things he said was, you could just see that people stood a little taller. There were always gay teachers, gay nurses, gay healthcare people who lived quiet little lives and feared for losing the security of the jobs that they had. But just that they stood taller after the work of Harvey Milk. And what we've been talking about, and this really was it wasn't just me in the station, was the notion of a gay leader. Mm-hmm. Because I don't feel like there's anything going on right now, this is my pessimism for the night, I need soup, that is making me, anyone who's inspiring me to stand a little taller.
Mm-hmm. No one?
Not a gay leader. Mm-hmm. And so we've been talking a lot about what goes into a gay leader and I would love to get your thoughts on that because Harvey Milk to me was a gay leader, and was assassinated not before I was alive, but I was two. And I don't feel like there's anyone out there right now who inspires the gay community in that way.
Yeah.
But I would love to be wrong.
No, I know what you mean. And I think, you know, what leaders do and so much of the paucity in leadership in this country in general is an unwillingness to cross lines. and to sort of take chances and to test the humanity of people who you think might not be on your side.
Right.
It's not really sort of a question of leadership, but I have to tell you that I had this, you know, one of the most kind of transcendent moments I've ever had in gay politics was after September 11th, mm-hmm. I was at a convention of gay and lesbian Muslims here in Washington, D.C., and Leslie Feinberg came and gave a talk, and she's the author of Stone Bitch Blues. And she came out in front of the audience, which was mostly male, mostly young Iranian and Pakistani men, and she said, "This is how my story as a butch Jewish middle-aged..."
Sorry, there's apparently a gay fire to put out here.
That often happens when I talk.
Sorry, wow. Jeez, Netta, you're pretty... insightful, I-N-C-I-T-E.
Incendiary.
But I think insightful, too, I-N-C-I-T-E. And it's either. Sorry, so keep going. So Leslie Feinberg.
Yeah.
So sorry.
She gives this talk and she says, you know, this is what the story of the Jewish American experience mm-hmm. has in common with the Muslim American experience in the United States of America. That's the only time I've ever heard anyone say, you know what, we have stuff in common.
Yeah.
And specifically from this gay perspective. And when she first came out, the room was kind of like, here she is, the sort of, you know, butch, older woman. They didn't quite understand what she would have to say.
Right.
By the end of her talk, all of these young men, there's probably 100 people in the room, were on their feet weeping. It was incredible.
I want that.
Yeah, you know?
I want that.
Yeah.
I want people to inspire in that way. The woman, and you know, the fact that I don't know her name is probably, let's say it's more indicative of my ignorance than her.
Leslie Feinberg.
Yeah. Well, no, not just Leslie Feinberg. The woman who does the, oh my gosh, is it StopTheImpact.org? I don't even know. She's being quoted heavily. I have to say, like, the last time that I was really moved in such a way was actually right around the same time. Maybe at the same weekend you were at your conference. I did one of those 3-day, 60-mile, and they don't even do them anymore. They do the breast cancer walks, but this one was for an AIDS vaccine cure.
Wait, it wasn't parkour, was it?
It was not parkour. Ari Shapiro just darted by a blur of motion.
He just ran up a building.
I'm like, who is that? I want to talk to him on my radio show that I don't have yet. And it was great. It was just a big group of people doing a 60-mile walk. And it was really inspiring to be around people who were inspired. And I just haven't felt that way. And so just reading about Harvey Milk, and it's the only book, and this can be confirmed, it's the only book that's on my bedside table is The Mayor of Castro Street.
What an incredible guy. You know,
just an incredible guy.
The thing is, you know, I'm sure many of your listeners have read the book and seen the documentary, and, you know, they're very familiar with Harvey Milk and his story. And I'd read the book when I was in college
mm-hmm.
a long time ago. But there's all of the stuff that I've forgotten and that isn't in the movie that's incredible. Like, do you remember that he was one of the co-producers of the musical Hair?
I did not.
Aired on Broadway?
I think I, like, totally blocked that out.
Isn't that incredible?
And oh,
when
wow.
And he first moved to San Francisco, it's because the touring production of Hair was going to San Francisco, and he was like, oh, well, I'll go along.
I'll go with them.
Get that production, you know, going in San Francisco.
No,
incredible. Like, what could be more possibly colorful than going on the road with the original touring company of Hair? And I'm a little disappointed that Gus Van Sant left out that.
Well, I have to say, you hit it right on the head of just that people's minds, the people who do know him, instantly leap to the Twinkie defense. And
yeah.
And I just, it really is, just the most unbelievable story.
You know, and there are just all of these, it's such a story at this moment, too. Something else that, you know, there's no way they could have explored it in the movie. You know, they have to condense. But that his murder took place just a couple of days after the Jim Jones massacre.
Yes, that I do remember.
And the Jim Jones people had been huge supporters of Harvey Milk.
Unbelievable.
And really involved in his campaign before they all decamped for Guyana.
It's really an unbelievable story. I do remember the bit about, I don't know if it's the movie, of the 8 or 9-year-old girl who was out campaigning for him.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember bits and pieces.
And she gets, unfortunately, you know, she's not in the movie at all, which was a little surprising to me.
Oh, she's not?
She's not.
All right. This movie's got to get to Vermont so I can actually see it and talk about it.
When's it getting to
I don't know.
They have, like, special greetings in Vermont.
I expect it to be the Vermont State movie, replacing Brokeback Mountain, and it isn't here yet.
You guys are going to have to come up with your own gay leader.
It's going
to
be a gala. It's going to be a gala. All right, so I have this other topic that I wanted to talk to you about. The other thing that's been big in the news this week, and so I'm looking for the intersection right now between art, artists, and society.
Ooh.
So you're my expert.
I found it.
We're going to find out right now, and then you're going to tell me if there's no intersection. A lot of press this week with Melissa Etheridge and Rufus Wainwright for two very different reasons. Rufus Wainwright, what did he say? He said something in the news, and I'm scrolling down in my copious notes for this week because I was nervous without my co-host that I wasn't going to remember anything. But Rufus Wainwright said something about gay marriage, and it wasn't good. He just said he's not for gay marriage, surprisingly, but as it turns out, he's not for any type of marriage. So he was out there saying that and got a lot of flack for it. And then Melissa Etheridge is getting a lot of flack because she came out in support of Rick Warren. And the selection of Rick Warren the inauguration invocation. And a lot of, the comments where all the drama goes down on the internet was about, listen, if you're an artist, you need to stay within your, particularly if you're a musician, stay within your little music realm and stop commenting on politics. And I was just...
See, that's how I feel about commentators.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They just shouldn't comment.
They should not comment at all.
No, I'm being sarcastic, but, you know, like, what
are we
supposed to do? Like, are any one of us not supposed to voice our opinion? Like, commentators should comment. You know, we should all shoot off our mouths. And if people happen to have bigger platforms, they've got bigger platforms, you know? And the reason why they have bigger platforms is they've produced something of merit.
Yeah.
But that means we can't just shut them down if they happen to say something we disagree with, you know?
Although I do not agree with Melissa Etheridge, let me put that out there. It doesn't mean that I don't want her to come on the show.
We're just on this one.
Oh, no, I adore her. I am gratified that Obama came out and said, look, if this is going to work, whatever this is, we need to have people of diverging viewpoints. And he did come out and say that, and that was good.
And you know what? I'm going to side with Obama here.
Go for it.
I think debate is really important. I think it would be really boring if the gay community had one monolithic point of view about anything, if any community did. I that would start sounding a lot like fascism to me, and I would be frightened. So I think it's great, you know, that people have various points of view and that we fight them out. And I don't know about you, but every time I've been in a room with more than two gay people in it, there have been incredible arguments about both of these issues.
Well, we apparently only have...
Good. You know, I think that's democracy.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, Melissa Etheridge, I just thought her comments were... See, I don't want to be critical of her because I don't know if she's sitting listening. This is in my own little dream world. Melissa Etheridge, this is what she's doing on Christmas Eve.
What's she doing?
Listening to the show.
And probably, like, lifting weights.
Well, and eating soup.
Parkour.
No, she doesn't do that.
She might. I wouldn't put it past her.
So you're fine.
And if you're against soup, then, I mean, I have no mercy.
Well, there's just no point. You can't even get it. You can't even get into Vermont if that's the case.
That's right.
You're certainly not going to see milk here, but that's the case. So you're okay, then, with that relationship between artists and society? I mean, that's what they do,
They do, you know? Huh. And sometimes we're going to agree with them, and sometimes we're really, really not going to. And, it's disappointing, you know, when an artist that you... In this case, that you sort of feel a particular alignment with lets you down, but I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
We're complicated people, we have complicated politics, and I don't think there's anything wrong.
Yeah, no, although I was entertained by the one comment who said at her next show, someone said, I'm really angry at her, and at her next show I'm going to throw my Birkenstock at her. And that entertained me. I thought that was entertaining. All right, so we have to talk about your song choices.
Yeah.
Because you're only, like, the third person. So we've had all these different guests, and we say to every guest, hey, you should send us four songs. And then people don't.
Well,
and
Ari did.
Ari was the first one to actually send us song selections.
Yeah.
So we're going to run through your song selections. This is like a Rorschach test, and you're going to tell us what they mean.
I see a butterfly.
Do you really? Maybe you do in these songs. So, Joseph, Better You Than Me,
yes.
Which I had never heard before, and we already played it tonight. Again, why do I keep saying we? I have no idea.
It's charming.
Yeah, it's really some sort of internal malady. But yes, go ahead, Joseph, better you than me.
So this is a song done by the group The Killers.
Mm-hmm.
And for the past, like, 3 or 4 years, they've done a Christmas single and donated all the profits to charity, blah, blah, blah. It's not on any of their records. And I think they often choose a guest artist to do it with. And the reason why I suggested it for this show tonight is because they did it this year with Sir Elton John.
Who I hear is gay.
That's rumored. What people say.
Yeah. And then we played 21st Century Life. What does that one say about you?
What does that say about me?
Yeah.
That I know who the big young gay artists
nice.
Are.
So you were just building some cultural capital there. You were getting some street cred.
You know, that was some cultural soup.
Nice. And then the song that we're going to play when we say goodbye, again, the we, it's really weird, is Take It Away, which I had to go through some of their music,
mm-hmm.
Your Majesty, to find something without cussing.
Yeah.
Because we're not supposed to be cussing before 10 p.m. here in Vermont.
No.
It's actually a rule on this station.
Right.
It's very bizarre. So tell us about Your Majesty.
Your Majesty, along with Sam Sparrow, is the two groups are, well, Sam is like one person, and Your Majesty is a group of three women from Tampa, Florida. They're the kind of big queer breakout groups last year. And Your Majesty first came to my attention when Sasha Farah Jones and The New Yorker started raving about them. And I have to say they are better live than recorded. But they're fun no matter what. They're a lesbian group. They're a lesbian rap group. They're also extremely Christian and therefore an appropriate choice for Christmas Eve.
Nice.
Even though they're completely filthy. And when they perform live, they have a tendency to take off their shirts and dance around in this very kind of like serene and very cool manner.
That's what I do during this show. Just to give everyone the visual. Only when I'm by myself, apparently. So. Oh, well, there. No, and they definitely got my blood pumping a bit when
did
I was
they?
Listening
did
to their
like
music.
Them?
Oh, I really did. They're on my workout mix now.
Oh, good.
I have like Ari
Shapiro.
Yeah, Ari Shapiro. Some of his songs made it onto my workout mix. Now you have your songs on my workout mix. So, what do you got planned for the holidays? Other than The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Few minutes of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Nice.
There may be soup in the immediate future.
All right.
Little parkour.
What else do you need, really?
Nothing.
Can you call Carl? Can we like conference call in Carl Castle?
I'm sorry.
Can we conference call in Carl Castle?
I wish we could. I wish we could.
Okay.
He's, you know, probably doing something very newscastery at the moment.
I'm sure. He's very distinguished. He's very distinguished. It is just such an absurd treat to have you call in. And you really kept me company, too, which I appreciate here on the holiday night. Can we get you to call back one night?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, we wish you... I'm going to just embrace the we, and I'm not even going to think about it anymore. We, on behalf of Becca and Ken and the entire show...
We are y'all.
We wish you nothing but the best in the holiday season. You're just doing some fantastic work over there on NPR, and it's much appreciated by not just the gay community, but the entire cultural community.
Well, how nice of you to say so. Well, thank you so much, and it's just been a pleasure. I've had a really good time.
Well, thank you so much. We're gonna play Your Majesty, a song called Take It Away, as we say goodnight to you, and have a great holiday, and best to your entire family.
And vice versa.
All righty. Thanks so much for calling in, Netta.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye.
Take it away, y'all do what you say.
Your Majesty.
If you take it away, y'all do what you say.
Your Majesty.
Take it away, y'all do what you say.
Your Majesty.
If you take it away, y'all do what you say.
Your Majesty.
Take it away, y'all do what you say.
Your Majesty.
If you take it away, y'all do what you say.
Your Majesty.
Take it away, take it away, take it away now. Get on, get on, get on down. I know you like the sound of this, though you just been there swinging around like it just don't care. Ladies, throw your hair from side to side. Fellas, just lean by. Now both of y'all rock. Hey, get on down. Hey, get on down. Straight up, Fort Mark.
right to the left and let you slide. Get to the side and left, I slam.
Now I'm a little bit hyper. That was Take It Away by Yo Majesty, off of their album Futuristically Speaking, as requested by our special guest tonight, Netta Ulaby from NPR, who is just fantastic. And I picture her now just watching The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe eating soup, because that's what you should be doing tonight. So thanks, Netta, for calling in. A couple other stories in the news that I was reading about that wanted to share with folks. The Pope is in some hot water from some gay groups, which is not really news, because it seems to happen all the time. But the reason for it this time is kind of funny. Pope Benedict was accused of stoking homophobia today after a speech in which he declared that saving humanity from homosexuality was just as important as saving the rainforest from destruction. He said, quote, "The tropical forests do deserve our protection, but man, as a creature, does not deserve any less. What's needed is something like human ecology." And he goes on to talk about a man and a woman and how that's really the only way to do it. So the analogy of the day is that the gay community is like a rainforest. I'm just going to let people ponder that for a second. While you're pondering it, I'd like to give a series of shout-outs to people who are listening on this evening where I'm sitting by myself at the station. Shout out to Melissa and Corey, and maybe even Lindsay and Jillian, although they should be sleeping, but to Melissa and Corey who are listening in, and hi to Melanie who's listening in, and Matt who's listening in, and Aaron and Andrew. It's just a ton of folks writing all night. If you want to give me a call in the last 7 or 8 minutes and talk about some gay news that's on your mind, give me a call at 802-246-6107. If you're on Instant Messenger, use the screen name, This Show Is So Gay, or check out our website at thisshowissogay.com. I'm asked right now to give a shout out to Andrew, who, had he been listening, I already gave him a shout out. So, but he can get another one. Shout out to Andrew. And I'm also told this is some breaking news. Lindsay and Jillian are sleeping. Lindsay and Jillian sleeping. The poll of the week off of one of the LGBT websites was, will you attend the Light Up Night Vigil? It was this past Saturday. 13% of people who were polled said yes. No got 18%. And then everybody else, the other 69%, said what vigil, which is me. Because I have absolutely no idea what the Light Up the Night Vigil is. I hope it was great. I hope it was a huge success, but I don't know what it was. And that's kind of what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, is how do we disseminate information about all these various protests and these things that are going on? Because they sound like great events, but they're not bringing the community together in the way that maybe they should. And again, maybe that's without having a leader. I don't know. But someone out there needs to take up the leadership. And we will have you on the show and let people know what things like the Light Up the Night Vigil are, because they sound like great things that people should go to, but we can't do anything if we don't know that they're happening. Across the pond, over there in England, the courts in England ruled that a straight man can be a victim of homophobia. And this is just, I love this story. Stephen English says he was, his name is actually Stephen English from England, says he was forced to quit his job at an awning manufacturer because the company refused to stop workers from calling him a faggot and other gay slurs. English filed a complaint with the Employment Appeal Tribunal. They have tribunals over there in England. I don't think we have very many tribunals over here. Alleging that harassment began when fellow workers discovered he'd been educated at a boarding school and that he lived in a largely gay area of England. The complaint said that the final straw came when the company's in-house employee magazine said that he had attended a gay pride parade wearing skin-tight Lycra cycling shorts. And that was the straw that broke Stephen English's back. And so in a landmark ruling, and it actually says a landmark ruling. The court said that a person can be, quote, harassed by homophobic remarks even though he is not gay, is not thought to be gay by his fellow workers, and he accepts that they do not believe him to be gay. So even, and this is for people that know me and know my work and how obsessed I am with the fact that intent does not matter. Intent has no bearing on the fact that some of these words have power to them, and they need to be stopped. And it doesn't matter if the targets are gay or, as England has now said, are straight. As one of the folks in the story said, the incessant mockery creates a degrading and hostile working environment. And it does. So kudos to the tribunal system there in England, who determined that it doesn't matter if you're gay or straight. If you are the target of some of these words, it's homophobia. So there you go. Good for them. So it's actually, and oddly, coming to the end of the hour here for me and my co-host. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
You know, it gets pretty sad towards the end of the hour when I start doing other voices and I pretend that I'm other people, but, you know, that's the point I'm at right now. I'm just scrolling through my stories, seeing if there's anything else I want to talk about. Tammy Baldwin. We love Tammy Baldwin, who is one of the only out folks in the House of Representatives. She's a Democrat from Wisconsin. She's one of the 16 honorary co-chairs for President-elect Barack Obama's inauguration. And she's in some pretty darn good company. Some of the other 16 people are former Presidents Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, and Jimmy Carter. And just to let people know, because there's been some flack coming out, that the only reason that she was invited was to counter Rick Warren, Rick Warren's invitation to speak at inauguration. The invitation was extended several weeks before the recent flap over the selection of Rick Warren to give the inaugural invocation. So don't be out there saying that Tammy Baldwin is just a bone that's been thrown to the gay community. That is not true. This invitation was extended a few weeks before this all happened this week. So, yeah, you go, Tammy Baldwin, and represent the gay community. So we're pretty happy about that. I don't actually think that there's tons of other news that I was seeing. So, folks, get out there. Get out there and let your voice be heard. I'm going to return to the topic that I started with at the beginning of the show. I've been saying for a few months now that Proposition 8 is not something that... It's certainly something I'm concerned with, but it's not something that I've felt particularly inclined to be on the front lines fighting for, because there are other causes. Not that it's not important, but it's just not the most important cause for me right now. But I was really in quite the rage when I read this story about the proponents of Proposition 8 fighting to nullify the marriages that have already taken place. It is appalling. It is insulting. I don't know what to do. I don't see this as just another example of, hey, we should fight to defeat this amendment. This is an assault, and we should do something. And when I say we, it's really not just the LGBT community. It's everybody, because it's bad. It's really bad. And I don't have anything more academic to say about that. So if you have ideas about what we should do about this, let us know. Drop us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com, because we'd love to help organize anything that helps folks out. I cannot imagine being married and then having people who don't know you out there fighting to say your marriage. That's just not real. Sorry. So if you're listening to this and you are married, think how crazy that would be. They're not out there saying, hey, Bob and Janet, we don't want you to be married anymore, because they're not using their name. They're just lumping you in with a whole big group of folks and saying, sorry, your marriage is null and void. And that's just, it's appalling. I'm going to keep saying it's appalling because it's appalling. And that's the holiday spirit. What a bizarre note for me to end on in terms of tone. Although I think I'm being very consistent that towards the end of the hour, every single show, I get really mad about something. And then I say, good night, sleep well. And tonight it's good night, sleep well, and happy holidays. Celebrate a new year. We will be gone for a couple weeks. We will not be on the air next week for New Year. So we wish everyone just the most amazing start to the new year on behalf of Becca and myself. And we will be returning the first Wednesday in January with a very exciting show. And if you've not looked at our upcoming shows list and all the guests who are coming up, you have to check it out. But on January 7th, and you just go to thisshowissogay.com and click on upcoming. On January 7th, we have songwriter and avant soul piano diva, Christy Martell. So you're definitely going to want to tune in for that. And to play you out for the evening, I have picked a Hanukkah song. Because it's Hanukkah. I know it's also Christmas Eve, but it's Hanukkah. So I dedicate this Hanukkah song to really everyone to get into the holiday spirit. Thanks for listening. It is a little bit after 10. You've been listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. All the best for a fantastic start to your new year from This Show Is So Gay. On behalf of Becca, thanks for listening. Have a great evening.
I had a little facial. I made it out of clay. When it was dry and ready, I looked like Doris Day.
Oh, facial, 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 she made it out of clay. Facial, 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 she looks like Doris Day. Oh, facial, 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 she made it out of clay. Facial, 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 she looks like Doris Day.
I am a little madel. My gender is a mess. They barred me from Hadassah, but let me in B'nai B'ris.
Oh, madel, 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 her gender is a miss. Madel, 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 they let her in B'nai B'ris. Oh, madel, 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 her gender is a miss. Madel, 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 they let her in B'nai B'ris. We are the Kinsey Shiksas. We don't understand this song. But since we have to live here, we're gonna sing along. Oh, Shiksas, 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 we don't understand this song. Shiksas, 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 we're gonna sing along. Oh, Shiksas, 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 we don't understand this song. Shiksas, 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 we're gonna sing a lot. Oh, Shiksas, 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 we don't understand this song. Gentile Kinsey Shiksas, we're gonna sing a lot. Shiksas, 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 we're gonna sing a lot.